What's better than a regular happy hour? How about an ultimate happy hour for moms? Martini Mamas Podcast is a weekly hangout for modern mamas to discuss mamahood, work-life balance, blended families, and self-care. So whether you're looking for advice, community, or a new bestie, you are in the right place. Cheers.
Hey guys, welcome back to Martini Mamas Podcast. Y'all, I have my new favorite person in the house. We've met in these local streets of San Antonio. Her name is Gina. She's about to get our mind and our body right. I'm not lying. Let me get her on in here so y'all can enjoy what I be enjoying when I'm with her. Okay. Hey, Gina.
Hey, Rika. Thanks for having me today.
Of course. You know, I wanted to, you know, been trying to get you on for quite some time. And I was like, you know what? When we come back full strong after, you know, the curator side of the house, you're going to be the first person on. And so tell people about yourself.
So I am the founder and owner of a company called Invitation Yoga and Events. So I'm fully mobile. I don't have my own yoga studio, but what I do is I create fully customized mobile yoga and mindfulness experiences for private groups. So I go directly to people's homes and places of business and create essentially yoga parties to help people connect, learn more about themselves, and relax, let go of some stress.
Okay. And so you, how is this working with like having kids and spouse and all of the things?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a balancing act, but I'm loving it for sure. So I'm a mom of two girls. My kids are 9 and 5. I started this. So I have a background in education. I taught middle school for over 7 years, 6th and 8th grade. English and social studies was my favorite thing to do. And then after I had my oldest daughter, I took a year sabbatical, and then, my husband got promoted and I decided to stay home and then proceeded to homeschool, my kiddos and just was home for a little while. And then, I did love it. And then just kind of felt after a while that I needed a change and needed to pour back into myself a little bit and get back into the community and express my, my leadership and my gifts in different ways. And so then I started my own business, and it's really been a blessing in terms of being able to create my own schedule and balance motherhood and career so that I can, you know, be there for all the special moments and also have something that lights me up. So I feel really lucky.
Good. I think that's one of the best things I love to hear is when we're doing something that really lights us up, you know?
Yeah. For sure.
All right. Well, we gonna get back to you, but you know what we like to do? We got to get you in for this mom vibe check.
All right, I'm ready.
You ready? Y'all always say that. Okay. Which couple would you switch lives with? Are you ready?
I'm ready.
This Is Us, Randall and Beth, Luke and Lorelai from Gilmore Girls, or Meredith and Derek from Grey's Anatomy?
Oh, Luke and Lorelai. Gilmore Girls was my favorite when I was growing up. It was funny. I was talking to a friend the other day, and she was like, you know, you've gotten older when you used to be able to relate to Rory, and now you relate more to Lorelai Gilmore. So that's kind of where I'm at in life, but I love them. I love them.
Oh, my goodness. So, like, I was flipping the shows and I had put it on for my daughter. She was like, look at the intro, mom. This is so out. I was like, this used to be the show, girl. She could not appreciate it. She could not. Okay. Next question. Which cartoon would you say you would have your kids sit down and binge watch? Doug, Ren and Stimpy, or Daria?
Oh my gosh, Daria. Well, okay. So with my kids, it has to be Doug. I used to love Daria though. I went through a stage in middle school where, I mean, people tease me because I'm sunshine and butterflies, but in middle school, I liked my combat boots. I thought Daria was hilarious. Yes. But yeah, for my kiddos, probably Doug.
Oh my goodness. Those are good. That's it. So you got those two. That's
down
memory lane, right?
That was fun.
Okay. So Gina, back to life as a mom and a boss, right? What really made you get into yoga?
So I had started it for the first time back when I was a teacher. So I was really passionate about my job. I loved it. I was a really hard worker. So I would get there at like 6:30 in the morning, wouldn't leave until like 7 o'clock at night. Because it was a passion. It felt like a vocation to me. But it's also really exhausting, right? Cause it takes a lot out of you. It's emotional. And, so I was just looking for a way to kind of pour back into myself and find balance. And so I was in, Glen Ellyn, a suburb of Chicago at the time. And, there was a studio that was just kind of down the street from my apartment. And I decided, you know, after work a couple times a week, I'm going to go and I'm just going to develop a personal practice and I'm going to see what this is like. And, my teacher's name was Marina. She was amazing. Had just a really beautiful balance of, you know, yoga poses, but also making it a little bit, more introspective as well. So I felt like, it felt really like self-care. And that was the first time I started yoga.
And so you have your baby and you like, I can't go back to school.
Yeah. You know, it was tricky. You know, I was nursing. So that meant I was pumping, which meant that, you know, all the breaks that are built in during the day where you're supposed to be collaborating with other team members or planning your lessons or grading, I couldn't do that as easily anymore. So all that spare time disappeared. I was really leaning on my team and I just felt really divided, you know, like she was in daycare and, you know, I'd pick her up and I'd have to get dinner on the table and get her in bed. And, there was just not enough hours in the day. And I felt like I wasn't being the best teacher I could be. I wasn't being the best mom I could be. And I just really needed a change. And so at that point, I decided to stay home for a little while and just kind of explore that element of motherhood and see how it went. Yeah.
Did you experience like postpartum depression?
Yeah, I did. You know, it wasn't diagnosed at the time, but so I had for both of them, but for my oldest one, I had planned a natural birth. So my husband and I went to Bradley birth classes. We took like, I think it was like 12 weeks of classes of, you know, how to all the different methods for, you know, pain management and all that. And I had this great, great vision of what I wanted. I switched practitioners to a midwifery. And I had high hopes. And then she turned breech and we tried all the things to turn her. We did something called ECV in the hospital where the doctors and nurses would try to manually turn her. She was too big and it wasn't happening. And so they said I had to have a C-section. The recovery was really, really difficult. So that was hard. I felt like for months and months, I just could not get up off the couch. It was hard to go from somebody who was really go, go, go. I mean, like as a teacher, I was always on my feet. I was a leader in my school and working with other people to be have that sudden change to just be on the couch. It totally changed my life. It was really hard.
I think we don't talk about that enough because we have these vibrant personalities and then there's this shift after we have a baby. And it's like, when they say you have a baby, it completely changes you. It does, you know, it changes your mindset. It changes how you have to learn to push through. And I just think that's a good conversation to always have. Like, look, I was a go-getter, had a baby, not so much. And so how did you find self again? Was that yoga?
You know, I think it was a combination of things. I think in the beginning, you know, when you first become a mom, your confidence is kind of like, I don't know, for me, my confidence was low in the beginning. I was like, I literally don't even know how to get up off the couch. So, I mean, the first step was just like getting my hands back because my baby was colicky. You know, it's like the moment I put her down, she's screaming. And I was like, how do I feed myself? How do I do anything? And so I learned how to use, baby carriers. I learned how to use the sling and the wrap and all the things,
all of the things, right?
And I was like, oh, now I can make myself a sandwich. That was probably the first baby step. And then just slowly, finding community. I did a lot of reading because I was doing a lot of baby holding and I learned about parenting and motherhood and got into, you know, what does it mean to be a respectful parent? What does it mean to help my babies develop a secure attachment? I learned a lot about attachment parenting and ended up building my own community. I was kind of early on the curve of my group of friends for having children. And so I felt a little bit isolated in that nobody else had kids. Yeah. So I had to make my own tribe, if you will. And so we went through the process of creating a chapter through Attachment Parenting International. And we had meetings they're almost like support group meetings for new moms. Honestly, we had topics like nursing, or what do I do if my baby doesn't sleep? Or, you know, what do I do if my in-laws think everything I do is wrong? Or, you know,
right.
All of that. So, and that was how I started to build community. And honestly, during that time of my life, it was difficult to do yoga. I mean, I had that practice prior to having kids, and that was really integral. And I did it a little bit through my pregnancies, and then proceeded to step away a bit because, you know, when your baby's eating every 2 hours and you've got, you know, 30 minutes in between, there's not a lot of time for that. And you can try to sneak it in, but honestly, I really didn't at that time. You know, got back into it several years back. I was homeschooling, everything was fine. And then we had to leave our home. We had issues with mold and water damage in our house. That was really sudden and surprising. And it was such that we were working with insurance companies, and we were told that we had to get out of the house, and we were gone for 9 months. With just like the clothes on our back and enough clothes for everybody for 7 days stuffed in garbage bags. And that was it.
Oh my, that is, well, so it's so much there to like unpack, because like, number one, you know, us seasoned moms, you know, a listen to this and be like, what? You know how to just get up and, you know, baby is like, yeah. No, motherhood does not come with a manual. Your first baby, you are literally like trying to figure it out. You're like, it's gotta be a way. And I think when you are, it lets us know the importance of having community and tribe, especially when your friends are not, you know, on the same, like, y'all still my girls, but your girl over here got a baby. And so I need some girlfriends who are going to be with me to, you know, understand my struggles and pain. So communication kind of, it differs, you know? Mm-hmm. And then you come through this like, man, not only am now I'm trying to find a way of life, normalcy, now we got to go. And so how was that on the kids?
It was rough. And so this is where I got back into yoga, right? So, so it was very difficult. We were, in a hotel for several months. It was just a one room. And, we had just gotten two kittens. We didn't know, you know, like you never know when the rug's going to get pulled out from under you. We had two brand new kittens. My kids were real young, and we were just in this tiny hotel room. We were homeschooling. So it's not like I was bringing them to school every day. We were just us. Husband was working a lot, trying to deal with everything with the house. I mean, it was rough. And then eventually, moved into an apartment temporarily before we were able to come back, home. But it was incredibly stressful. We saw an uptick in tantrums like never before, because they didn't understand, you know, why don't we have our stuff? Why aren't we in our house? Why aren't we in our neighborhood? What about our friends? And, you know, you try to maintain a sense of normalcy as much as possible, but we were all really, really struggling. And at some point in there, I just, talked to my husband and said, you know, I really need to get back into my personal practice because I remembered how transformative it had been for me in the past. Mm. And I could feel that I needed it. I needed something for me. I needed to get back into it. And so it had been difficult.
What was that feeling? What was that feeling? Was it suffocating? What was the feeling?
You know, that time was really full of, it was a lot of anxiety of, you know, are we going to be okay? Where are we going to end up? You know, am I ever going to see? And you think, you know, well, the stuff in your house is just stuff, but you know, there are a lot of things that are sentimental, photo albums, my dad's guitar, you know, like things that are irreplaceable. And it's just like that feeling of unknown. I needed to ground, you know, I needed to really find calm in the midst of chaos. I needed to find stability so that I could be a parent that was strong and steady for my kids. You know, it's hard to listen to tantrum after tantrum and screaming and, you know, meltdowns and to understand like, hey, I get it. This is rough, but also like, I'm dealing with it too. And so I could stay calm, but then I needed a way to refill my own cup so that I could continue to show up for my family.
Man, I think it's so important that, you know, in those moments, we have to go back to find the thing that grounds us. And, you know, sometimes it is your faith and sometimes it is a matter of having practices in place. For you, it was yoga. I think the thing is when we don't take time to actually feel what we're feeling, you know, and we just try to push through without actually pouring back into ourselves. Mm-hmm. Like, you stay on the struggle bus so much longer, and it's a transfer of energy. The kids begin to feel it. So you're down, they're feeling your energy of anxiety and everything. And I know, I mean, for me, I think mom set the tone in the house. And so when mom is off, everything is off. I truly believe that. So yeah man, I'm like, child, like tantrum after tantrum. I got a toddler over here. I could not imagine. So now you are Invitation Yoga. I love that you have this like mobile aspect of it, right? But I also love that you teach a practice to help women rediscover who they are. Mm-hmm. And I want you to go into the principle a little bit. I want you to tell us about it.
Yeah. So I guess for me, you know, with my own personal experiences, yoga was so transformative for me. And so in that regard, I wanted to give back and create experiences where women could feel safe, finding themselves and finding a practice that works for them. So I think what's really special about what I do is, you know, I'm a big, I love yoga studios. I have my own personal practice. I go to a yoga studio. But you know, the way that yoga studios work is that they have a set schedule, and it's, you know, if you go at 9 a.m., it's going to be fitness. If you go at 6 p.m., it's going to be restorative. It's not, and you have to go with what fits your schedule ultimately. Yeah. Right. So it's not necessarily catered to, what your specific needs are. And it can also be kind of intimidating the first time you go into a yoga studio. I know a lot of people are, I hear all the time, you know, I'm not flexible. Oh, I'm not bendy. I've never done it. I'm a super beginner. Right. And they're very hesitant. And so I feel really blessed and that I get to work with so many people who've actually never done yoga before. I often am like a person's first experience with it, which I think is great because I get to design an experience for exactly what it is that they want and need. You know, if they're like, hey, it's girls' night, we just want to chill. We've had a really rough week. Like, we just want to relax. Yeah. You can do that. If I'm working with a group of women who are deep into fitness and they're like, we want to sweat, it's like, okay, well, we can do that too.
Yeah.
But ultimately, when we're talking about the asana, the yoga poses, I like to think of what I do as like choose your own adventure yoga because I like to offer a lot of options, you know? So I like to make it accessible to everybody. You know, we're all different. Our levels of experience are different. Our bodies are different. And yoga really is about sort of, you know, reclaiming, reclaiming like ownership of your body, right? Like to be able to say, yes, that pose works for me. You're like, no, that's not what I'm going to do right now. That doesn't work for me. And having that be okay.
Yes. I think that part right there is that having it be okay. I think sometimes, oftentimes we compare our bodies and what we're doing to other people, but being able to come in and say, you know what? That pose don't work for me. Do you got another one? And someone who is leading the class not look at you like, no, just try harder, but say, sure, I do. How about you try this? And, you know, and not feel bad or not feel ashamed or have someone give the snippy look like, girl, you can't do that pose, you know? So I think that's important. But child, when you said that you get newbies, I was over here thinking to myself, Gina over here popping cherries for yoga.
That's right. You know, it's so funny. I actually had a client say that to me. She was like, you pop my yoga cherry, so I had to hire you back for this other experience. She's so funny. But no, I love it. I love it. But exactly what you said, you know, I have to give a shout out to my friend and mentor, Mel Marie Yoga. Mel is who trained me. She's phenomenal. She's all about trauma sensitive yoga. She's all about adaptive therapeutic yoga. You're not going to see me teaching people to stand on their head. I don't like being upside down. you know, it's not about performance, right? It's about listening to your body. It's about showing up for yourself. It's about, you know, that creating that community, you know, it's just kind of a different vibe.
So I know we talked about beta a little bit, off camera. Can you tell us a little bit about that practice?
So it's called Ayurveda and it's a sister science of yoga. So, we hear a lot about this in Western culture in like skincare products. So a lot of times if people have heard of this, it's like, oh, my lotion is, you know, I got it from a spa that says that they have items that, you know, that are good for my skin in this capacity. But, in the sister science of yoga, the idea is you want to come into balance. So, I recently led an experience where we, for women in business, and we were delving a little bit deeper into this topic where, the belief is that there's three different doshas, is the term, which is, pitta, vata, or kapha. And these are three different, like personality types almost, they're based off of the elements. So, pitta people, they're like, that's my fire, like really fiery people. Vata is air and ether. So like spacey. And then, I mean, hey, that's me. I can say it. There were the dreamers, right? And then kapha is, they're earth elements, earth and water. And so, you can take, there's different quizzes that you can take to figure out what your dominant dosha is. And the whole foundation of Ayurveda science is that you want to come into balance. So everybody has these elements inside of them in some capacity. And you can see this through internal and external traits. But that the claim is that optimal health comes when there's a balance among these different types. And so you can do that through the foods you eat, the things that you consume, the types of exercise that you partake in. And so in that way, it's really a lifestyle. More than just a yoga practice. And that's why they call it a sister science. Yeah.
Okay. So which one am I? Which one do you think I'm going to be?
All right. Well, I think I would guess that you are mostly pitta. I would say maybe, so you can be what's called bi-doshic, where you're like kind of two things. I would say you might be Pitta Kapha would be my guess, but I'd say you're mostly Pitta.
Okay, here we go. Here we go, right? Okay. It says it manifests itself in my metabolism. I'm like, please do, because your girl's trying to drop a couple of pounds. Okay. I'm like so interested in this. What would be a good place to take a quiz?
You know, I'll send you over a link. And so you can share the link. Okay. And I have a quiz that I developed as well, based off of the studies that I've read. It's really interesting. I mean, you know, I have some friends who are scientists and psychologists, and I was telling them about it, and they're like, you know, raising eyebrows at me. And they immediately, one of my friends, she immediately hopped on PubMed, you know, because she's got all the access. And she was like, oh my gosh, Gina, look at this. And she sends me over this article about all the brain research behind. I was like, I'm telling you. But, right. You know, it's important too, not to over-identify. You know, I look at it a little bit, you know, when I was doing the workshop, I was talking with the women there about love languages as well. If you're familiar with the five love languages.
You know, I love some love languages. You know, that's my thing, girl.
Yeah. And, you know, it kind of reminds me of that in terms of like, you know, everybody's got this dominant love language, but you really need people to speak all of them to you, right? Like, right. Sure, you have a dominant dosha. It might be out of balance in some way, yeah. But like, there's a little bit of all of them in us, you know? So, but I do think it's really, really interesting just in terms of knowing yourself. So for me, I'm mostly Vata. So Vatas are really like creative types. And that can be beneficial, right? Thinking about what I do, like I plan these unique mindfulness experiences. I have to have this creative brain because I'm constantly thinking of different new ways to bring yoga and mindfulness to completely different people who want new and innovative things. So that benefits me. The flip side can be, you know, spacey, head in the clouds, like always thinking about other things and having trouble staying present in the moment. So that's why for me, knowing that about myself, having a foundation in prayer, in meditation, in really grounding practices where I am very mindful and practice being in the moment, that's really important for me because I can get kind of lost in my head sometimes.
Me too. And I see why you say it's a little bit of us in that. And I think, especially as a creative, it gets very hard not to be spacey, especially when you're a big dreamer. And I dream a lot. I was just telling my husband about that. He was just like, and you need to write it down because I will sit there and have it all in my head. And so my next question really is, blockages, right? I think sometimes there are blockages in our body that really don't allow us to feel what we need to feel. Yeah. Is that something that you deal with in your mindfulness sessions?
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting that you bring that up because, you know, I was taught that from a Vedic perspective, from an ancient Indian perspective where yoga is rooted, the belief there is that depression is a problem with prana, which is energy moving through the body. And so from a yogic perspective, how you deal with that is through channeling the breath and through asana or yoga practices. It's all movement of energy throughout the body. And so a lot of people feel like if they're having blockages, it's really a matter of getting back into the body and moving the energy through. And the breath is a great channel for that. And that is something that I do teach is different breath work practices.
Now, is there a way to associate emotional feelings with different sensory or pains in the body?
Yeah. So I guess I would say if you're talking, you know, when you say the word blockages and emotions and parts in the body, immediately my brain goes to chakras. So that the energy points in the body, and there are yoga poses that are associated with those. So, you know, if you're talking about, you know, you have, let's say you're going through heartache, you know, you're struggling in relationship. There's a heart chakra, a heart energy center. So from a yogic perspective, from asana, from the poses, what would you do? You do heart openers, right? So you're opening your chest, you're spiraling your heart toward the ceiling. You're flying your arms behind your back and leading with your chest. And it's really about bringing intention and energy to those places where you can really feel it. Absolutely. Yes.
Spacey, mine is just going, just listening to you talk, boy. Okay. I know for you, you know, yoga is not just a matter of practice. It has truly become a lifestyle for you. And they say your gift will make way from you. And so you have such a beautiful gift that you share with so many, just moms, but women in general, that just need a different, like you said, safe space, no matter their level, their experience, you know, their social class in the world. And so absolutely. I love that you always have something for everybody. You know, it's like the doggy and such yoga, and we're doing it, you know, mindfulness and the boss yoga, where it's just like for the, you know, for entrepreneurs and career working women, and then the moms. And so it's truly always a space for you. And that's what I love. And so thank you for that. Thank you. Okay. Before we get off here, tell the people how they can stay connected with you, what you have coming up in the near future, and all of the things.
Yeah, absolutely. So my website is invitationyoga.com. So that's an easy way to kind of jump on and see some examples. So I have all my past public experiences up there under the shop tab, so people can kind of see all the different things that I have done in the past. And then there's examples of how you put together a very unique private event as well up there. You can also find me on Instagram at Invitation Yoga. That's a good way to keep up with what I'm doing and upcoming events.
Okay, one last question. I have two.
Sure, yeah.
Because I always like to end with one, but I know that locally we have access to you. Are you thinking about a virtual community, maybe like a YouTube channel, you know, where they can wake up and do yoga with you for like 15, 20 minutes to start their day?
Yeah, I think that'd be amazing. And that's definitely something where I see the business growing in that regard, because I think, you know, having yoga become a part of people's lives is something that I definitely want to help facilitate. So, you know, the main focus is the special events, but, you know, in between those, having a way for people to be able to cultivate a home practice, I think would be really awesome.
Yeah. Okay. So this is one question that I always like to end with, and that is, what is one lesson that your mom didn't teach you, you had to learn on your own in motherhood?
Ooh, that my mom did. Oh gosh, that's not where I thought you were going with that question. Uh-huh. That's so funny. Because my mom taught me all the things. Let me see. You know, I think no mom wants to tell their own kid how difficult motherhood can be sometimes, right? Like, obviously all the moms I love my kids. Every mom loves their kids. And, but you know, nobody tells you that it can be really hard sometimes. And I think that, nobody's going to sounds fun. Nobody's coming for you. You know, that ultimately you've got to advocate for your, it's true, right? You've got to advocate for your own needs. Because it is very easy as a parent who takes care of the house and takes care of the kids and, you know, takes care of the meals and is the wife and all that. You know, people like being taken care of. And so no one's coming to say, well, what do you need? You should take a break. You know, I think I was waiting for a long time for someone to say, look how hard you're working. Like, why don't you go just take some time for you? That person's not coming. That person has to be you. I truly believe it. You know, you got to love yourself and pour into yourself as much as you do for other people. And, you know, I felt so guilty for so long doing that. And the moment that I shifted that in my heart and said, you know what, I matter too. I need this. I need self-care for me. I need to start being better about showing up for myself. And I said things like, you know, I've had a long day. I'm going to go for a little walk right now, or, you know, I'm headed to yoga, or I'm going out with the girls. I expected there to be a lot of pushback of like, hey, wait a minute, but what? And you know what? There wasn't. There was not. I expected there to be so much flack and guilt, and there wasn't a bit of it. It was okay. Have a great time. And I was like, why did I not do this sooner? Why? You know,
yes.
So much of that guilt is self-imposed.
It is.
I wish that I would have figured that out sooner, I guess.
Oh, that's a good one. You're absolutely right. I mean, you're absolutely right.
Well, that is the end of today's show. I hope you enjoyed it. If we're not connected on Instagram, which is my favorite place to hang out, be sure to stop by and say hi at Martini Mama's podcast. Also, if you haven't done so, please follow, rate, and review us. Higher ratings and higher reviews mean more dope moms can find us, and I keep bringing you fresh mom content that matters. Until next Thursday, be blessed.